Blog Talk Radio. You have reached the On Air Radio Network. Please state your name and you will be entered into our studio. Please keep your phone on mute until you are ready to speak.
Please announce yourself.
To call in, 515-905-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Aston Wasaba. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saupona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the On Air Radio Network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
What's up, y'all? Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm over here thumbing through this book, but I'm excited to get today's show started. If you didn't see the title below today, we're going to be talking about cloudy vision.
I'm going to be talking about cloudy vision.
But I would love for y'all to join in. So when I say cloudy vision, of course, we're going to talk about some physical attributes of cloudy vision. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about eye problems, what causes glaucoma, what causes whatever, you know, just this cloudiness of vision. But then, after I'm done with that, you know, after the church get warmed up, then we're going to talk about real cloudy visions. We're going to talk about things that tend to cloud a person's visions about themselves, about life, their perspectives, and how to unclog that vision, right? Physically, with the foods we eat, with our practices and our habits, but we also want to talk about ways to just kind of find your way back. Because when you tend to lose your vision, you know what I'm saying? It's like walking around the room and you got your eyes closed. You're feeling around. You kind of lost. You don't really have your footing. You just kind of feel your way through. So we're going to talk about how to find your way back. Like, we're not going to be out here lost. But before I do that, because I was thumbing through Think and Grow Rich. I don't know if y'all have ever read this book by Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. It was worth the $8. It was a good book, and it was worth the $8. And, I'm just thumbing through that. But before we jump in, I want to play this motivational speech that I heard. It's 2 minutes. It's 2 minutes, and it's by one of my favorite motivational speakers, Eric Thomas. So let's get some motivation going up in here, y'all. It's early in the morning. Come on, get up.
You can write everything down if you want to. Be brave enough to write every one of your goals down. But I'm going to tell you something. Life's going to hit you in your mouth, and you got to do me a huge favor. Your why has to be greater than that knocked out. And I love it. Buster Douglas got knocked out. Nobody ever got knocked out by Mike Tyson and ever got back up. It was almost a 10 count. He was stumbling. It was 4, 3, 2. 100. Ding, ding, ding. Saved by the bell. He goes to his corner. The whole world is like, that's it. Once he comes back out, that's it. Mike's going to just hammer him. And exactly that. Mike Tyson came out. I got him. I got this kid up against the rope. Listen to me. Many of you right now, life got you up against the rope. You can't give up. You can't give in. Listen to me. If it was easy, everybody would do it. And if life's got you backed up, I need you to do what Buster Douglas did. Buster Douglas started fighting back. The world was shocked. Goliath has been knocked down. What happened? And they went to Buster Douglas, and they asked Buster Douglas simply, like, what happened? And Buster Douglas said, listen to me, it's real simple. Before my mother died, she told the whole world that I was going to beat Mike Tyson. And 2 days before the fight, my mother died. Buster Douglas had, he had a decision to make. When his mother died, he could die with his mother, or he made a decision, I can wake up and I can live for mom. And he knocked Mike Tyson out simply because his why was greater than that punch. His why was greater than defeat. His why was greater than his trial and his tribulation. And I'm telling you, if you don't know what your why is and your why isn't strong, you're going to get knocked out every single day.
Every single day. Every single day, you will wake up in the same position you went to bed in if your why is not crystal clear. If your vision is not crystal clear, you will wake up the same way you went to bed every day. So let's get into this talk, y'all. Now, we're going to start out, we're going to talk about cloudy vision. And one thing that came to mind when I thought about cloudy vision was this little thing that is very prevalent in my particular community, glaucoma. Everybody got a grandma, auntie, or uncle that got glaucoma. And most people think it just comes from old age, to a degree. But that old age is more so an accumulation of things that has been consumed in that person's life. And when a person doesn't live a clean lifestyle, right, and it's not a lot of water drinking, fruit and vegetable eating, a lot of exercise, things build up in the body. Things build up. So when a person hits 60, 70, 80 years old, all this stuff has accumulated and it hasn't properly flushed out, so it builds up. And one of the areas that it builds up, unfortunately, is across people's eyes, and that causes glaucoma. So things that contribute to glaucoma, sure, you got all these whatever considerations about age and hereditariness and genetics, and my mama had it. And thank you, Naima. I'm glad you liked that video. But, yeah, you got all these different things like old age or whatever that can contribute to glaucoma, but you also have this real thing of diet and lifestyle. So there's this system in your body called your lymphatic system. Now, before I even jump into all these big words and start explaining the lymphatic system, let me tell you what lymph is. And it's spelled L-Y-M-P-H, lymph. Lymph is a fluid in your body. And that fluid has white blood cells in it. Now, the white blood cells are the blood cells that fight germs and bacteria, right? So your lymph, the fluid in your body has these white blood cells that fight germs and bacteria, and it flows through your entire body. It flows through, right? It's a system. It flows, and it's a part of your circulatory system, right? It moves things around. It keeps things circulating. So when your lymph fluid is not properly flowing or is not clean, it's not going to carry enough blood, white blood cells through the body to flush things out. Now, some of the places that those lymph fluids flow through your eyes, they flow through your heart, they flow through women's breasts, they flow under your arms, they flow through your kidneys. It's a system, right? So it flows through your whole body. So your lymphatic system is a little system in your body, and it just flows fluid. It just flows fluid. Now, when a person has blockages or an accumulation of greed, sugar, cholesterol, X, Y, and Z, it can affect the purity of that fluid that is designed to flush things in your body out. Your eyes and your lymphatic system are connected, right? If you notice, your eyes have a little fluid around them, right? Nobody's eyes are bone dry. Some people call it mucus or whatever, whatever. Call it whatever you want. It's a fluid. It's a fluid. And that fluid helps also to keep things clear. Like it flows through your body. It doesn't just sit there like a puddle. It moves, right? So when that fluid is cloudy, the vision gets cloudy. You see where I'm going with this? You see how A plus B is equal to C, right? So that's how your vision can get cloudy. So have you ever wondered, why is this fluid here on the eyes? And I'm specifically talking about the eyes. We can get into a whole conversation about the liver and the kidneys and the lungs, but I'm specifically talking about the eyes. I've done my research. Here are my notes. So the fluid in your eyes pushes through metabolic waste. That's a big word, and we hear it a lot. What is metabolic waste? It is waste that's produced after the body metabolizes food. When the body metabolizes something, it breaks it down. So when you eat something, let's say you eat an apple, and your body breaks it down, okay, boom. Your body like, cool, I'm going to take these vitamins, boom, and I'm going to leave the little scraps and the ends and bits. I'm done with that. Right? Now, we're not talking about the waste that builds up in our stomach that we go whatever, whatever to the bathroom and poop out. We're grown. Everybody poop. I'm talking about the waste that stays in the body from nutrients that the body does not absorb. So you eat the apple, your body breaks it down, boom. Whatever the body does not consume is considered waste, so it's going to linger in the body. When your lymphatic system, when your eyes are blocked up, that metabolic waste stays in the body and it builds up, it accumulates. You see what I'm saying? I'm so grateful for this talk today. The doctor told me I have cataract on my eye and I'm determined to eliminate it naturally. Welcome back, sis. I'm so glad I'm glad you got that little message, because nothing in this universe happens by accident. Everything is in divine order at the divine time. So, the metabolic waste that's in your eye needs to be flushed out. That's where your lymphatic system comes into place. That's where that fluid that flows through your body is there to push those that build up out, instead of push it out. But in order for the body to properly push it out, we have to make sure that we aren't adding excessive amounts of waste to it. We have to make sure we aren't adding more waste at a faster pace than the body can push out, right? I don't have the measurements of how much whatever waste is pushed out or how much fluid is moved around per minute, because I'm assuming that's based off everybody's body, their level of activity, what they eat. So there is no one-size-fits-all answer to that. But if you're drinking 3 sodas a day with a side of fries, I'm guilty of eating fries. I ain't throwing no shade. But then, you know what I'm saying, if there's minimal exercise, lots of processed foods, bad foods, the amount of waste you're putting in is coming in way faster than the body can actually push it out. How can infections enter the eye? That's a good question. Infections can enter the eye in a multitude of ways. You can get an infection by touching something with your finger and then rubbing your eye. Like, that's a very common way. Or if you have something, a disease or a virus or a bug in your body and the fluids are moving through, it could move to your eye. So there's no one answer to that. But typically infections from the eye come from something that like actually contacts the eye, because the body already has all of these. The body was perfectly designed to block diseases and fight off viruses. So something just hits you and it just typically is from an outside source, typically. There could be other reasons, but I think that's the best quick answer for that, Miss Abigail. I love that name. But if we are putting in junk faster than we can push the junk out, very often that junk is going to accumulate. And when we eat things like greasy foods and sugar and syrups, from all these sugars or sodas or whatever, because some of these things are so thick, they also don't push out that fast, right? Eating all these thick foods. I know we got a lot of people out here that like their stuff to be thick. It got to have some sauce on it, some gravy. It got to feel like something. It got to taste like something. But if we're eating things that have all this, the culinary word for that is viscosity. If we're eating all of these things that have all of this viscosity, all of this thickness, we're into our bodies, right? And when it comes to our vision, we have to be very dainty, very light. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's perfect, but there is a word called balance that has to be applied. There has to be a balance of what goes in so the body can keep up and push it out at either a faster rate than it comes in or at the same rate that it comes in, ideally a faster rate, right? So let's get back to my notes here. So lymph is a fluid from body tissues that carries white blood cells and flows back to the bloodstream, right? So it carries out, it's going to flush out that waste, whatever is built up in the eyes, and it just pushes it back through the bloodstream. And, of course, as you, whatever, go to the bathroom, exercise, sweat, it's going to come out of the body. But before it comes out of the body, that's what the lymphatic system is there for, to keep those white blood cells pushing through to fight that disease, to fight those germs, right? These fluids, they remove bacteria and proteins. Proteins are just structures. Think of a protein like a house. It's there, right? The bacteria are like all the pieces of the house. You got your wood and your this and your that, blah, blah, blah. But the protein is the structure. It's what keeps things there. So the fluids from the lymphatic system, they remove bacteria and proteins from tissues. Your eyes are tissues. Your eyes have tissues in them, right? We don't want a bunch of structures building up on our eyes. We don't want a bunch of houses and things building up on our eyes that can block our vision. No sound on Facebook. Sound is bad. Oh, good. Some babies are born with an infection in their eyes. That's right. A lot of things go on in the delivery room. It's a lot of stuff being touched. It's a lot of fluids and things that happen in the delivery room. But you are right about that. I have heard a lot of stories of babies being born with infections. And, again, there is no one answer for that. There is no one answer for that. But that is very true. But the best thing to help combat that, I ain't no mama, but this is just my thorough opinion from my own observation and research, is just making sure that mommy eats a clean, healthy diet, so when that baby does pass through and passes through all these infections, the amount, the risk of those germs getting, you know what I'm saying, like stuck onto the baby are reduced. But, I mean, the body is so perfectly designed, and just like the whole process of just giving birth was just so perfectly designed. It's like anything that interferes with that, yeah, it just is what it is. I'm not going to get into it. So, yes. Next, where are these fluids produced? When we talk about these lymphatic fluids, where are these fluids produced? All right, based on my research, because there's a lot of research out here in this world, and I'm only one person. I can only do so much research. Based on my research, these fluids are produced from the circulatory system, right? The system that keeps things circulating, your blood flowing, pop, pop, pop. They come from veins. Your circulatory system are like your veins, your arteries, things that like really keep stuff circulating, moving, blood, blah, 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 blah. But the lymph fluids are primarily produced by your liver and your digestive system. I don't know if you've ever heard the term that your stomach is your second brain, but I live by that. I live by that. If I eat something and it makes me sluggish, it's like a sandwich or something like that. If I eat something and I feel like I got to go to sleep, I promise you my brain is going to say, go to sleep, lay down. I'm done. Chips. I don't drink soda. I haven't drunk soda in years. I'm proud of myself for that. I don't drink soda, but chips, fries, sandwiches, those are like my guilty pleasures. And when I eat those things, I promise you, my brain shuts off. And if it don't shut completely off and go to sleep, it slows down. I'm talking about we go from like 80 miles an hour and we drop down to like doing the speed limit, maybe a little less. like we in the 20-30 miles per hour range. So knowing that things are produced in your stomach produces a lot of things. They can be good things or bad things. It really just depends on what you put into it, right? So knowing that the digestive system produces fluids that flow through the body to help clean out the body is an indicator that you have to be mindful what you put into your stomach. You have to be mindful what you put into your body. You have to. And you don't, my experience has taught me, don't be like super strict about it. Mommy's emotions are a powerful influence on the baby's health and her own. Talk about it, Bayetta. I love that. Bayetta said, Grand Rising. Mommy's emotions are a powerful influence on her baby's health and her own health. Thank you for that. I agree. I'm not a mama, but I agree. but we have to be mindful what we put into our bodies, what we put into our stomachs, because a lot goes on in this here stomach, this digestive, this mechanism that is doing a lot of work. So if you're putting good things in, when I say good, I mean nutrient dense, right? Because you could eat ice cream cone and be like, that's some good food right there. You can eat a smothered pork chop with rice and gravy and be like, that was some good eating right there. When I say good, I mean nutrient rich, like very nutrient dense. Even when it comes to like eating vegetables and fruits, like try to eat them as close to their raw form as possible. Cooking them down is cool, but like eating a bunch of like overly cooked food and super heavily reduced and whatever foods, the nutrients are cooking out of it. So if you're going to put those things into your body, just try to keep them as close to, keep them as crunchy as possible. The crunchier a fruit or vegetable is, or whatever, primarily a vegetable is when you eat it, the more life it still has in it because vegetables crunch, right? Just keep that in mind because that's where your lymph fluids are being produced. And again, for anybody who's just chiming in, those lymph fluids are the fluids that flow through your body that remove bacteria and protein from essential tissues and organs. Second place lymph fluids are produced, your liver. Your liver is so important. What's crazy is when I was younger, my grandma used to eat liver. I hated it. When I smelled that liver and onions cooking, I knew I'm going to bed hungry. I don't want no parts of this. I'm cool. And my grandma would say, oh, liver is healthy. All right, now that was back in the day. My grandma was though. But in my opinion, a good liver is a liver that's inside your body and not on nobody's plate. And a good liver is a liver that is healthy, okay? Not seasoned with lorries and onions with gravy. Negative. But a good liver is a healthy liver. What contributes to a healthy liver? It's healthy eating. Healthy, clean eating. Lots of water. Your liver is the thing in your body that pushes out toxins. So, like, I don't know if you can see it. But, like, right here, this is, like, your liver. It's, like, right, I might not have it perfect, but it's in this. This is your kidneys, my bad. But your liver helps to push out waste. So your livers and your kidneys, whenever I have a stomach ache, I would massage my stomach like this. I learned this little trick to massage your stomach on its sides like this because it helps to speed up the waste elimination process so you can have a easier trip to the bathroom. It helps, like, reduce gas. So I've learned that trick over the years. If you notice things are moving quickly, you know, just a quick little tip is just to, like, massage or, like, rub your stomach like this right here. And then that should help get the process of elimination speeded up a lot faster. Peace, God! So, yes, lots of water, leafy green vegetables, right? I know everybody ain't no fan of salad, but eating a good amount of leafy green vegetables, even if it's a salad a week, y'all, you can put your little, I know a lot of y'all out there eating chicken, whatever. Hey, let me tell you something. A lot of people know me as being vegan. And this is a sidebar. When I first went vegan, I was on the everybody named mama need to be vegan. If you still eating chicken, you dumb, you stupid. Whoa. Baby, I have jumped off that bandwagon. If you want to eat chicken, go eat your grown behind some chicken. Just don't come over here with it. So, whatever. You want to eat your chicken? Put some chicken on the salad. I ain't saying I don't care. But I got my own life to worry about. You understand what I'm saying? I can't worry about what's on your plate. Because what I eat don't make you. Y'all know the rest. We're not supposed to say bad words on this here platform, but people who don't even know, I'll really be cussing up a storm. Oh!
I remember eating Living in Gravy as a child season. I can't stand it. Thanks, I needed that love. I felt that.
I bet you did. Anywho. I know these comments on my side coming up late, so if y'all see the comment and it takes me a minute, my bad. They just come up a little late on this here little platform that I'm using called StreamYard, so know me. Anywho, so your lymph fluids are produced in your liver and your digestive system. So keep what you put in your body nice and clean, and what you get out will be nice and clean as well. Liver eating was a regular meal in my childhood. It must be a tradition from the plantation. Because maybe the slave master there thought there threw that out like the hog intestines. Maybe, honey, I don't know. I'm a firm believer that I was never a slave. Not in no lifetime was I ever a slave. That's just my own personal belief. I don't know. That's why I don't eat liver. I never liked liver. I never liked the intestines because I don't have no familiarity with the plantation plate. I don't have no reality with that. That's not real to me. That is not real to me at all. I am a guy. I eat like a guy. Like, even eating meat over time just took a toll on me because it's just like, that's not who I am as a, like, I don't consume dead things. Like, I'm a guy body. So, I don't know, sis. Maybe. I don't know. But okay, I'm going back to my notes, y'all. That's what I'm looking down at. I'm looking down at my notes because I don't be wanting to just get on here with just know any old thing. You feel me? If I'm going to come to you, I'm going to come to you with some facts. I'm going to come to you with a real solution. And real solutions are rooted in facts. Trust. All right. Some fluids. Now, I'm talking about the lymphatic system for anybody who might just be jumping in. I'm talking about the lymphatic system and how it contributes to eye diseases, particularly the one I'm talking about is glaucoma and what that whole thing is. It's just an accumulation. Glaucoma is essentially an accumulation of waste in a person's eye. That's why when a person goes to get, like, cataract surgery or whatever, they can just, whatever, take their laser and just peel it off like a sheet of paper. It's just a scab. It's just a bunch of waste. And it's just building up, and then the doctor just go in and get all your money and go like this. All right, have a good day. And put a Band-Aid over you and send you behind home. And you're just pulling off a layer of waste. That's it. That's the simplicity of it. And then when you come home, you can just all of a sudden see so much clearer because that waste has been peeled off your eye. But you can save your trip to the yourself a trip to the doctor. And you can save yourself, I'm sure, a couple thousand dollars just by eating a clean diet, like living a clean lifestyle. I won't even say eating a clean diet because your diet is only half a part of the equation. But living a clean lifestyle, I don't know if people realize how important exercise plays in the elimination of waste in your body. Like even if you just walk in or you're doing like a YouTube workout, like not sitting stagnant. Because imagine you just sitting stagnant. What's moving? I mean, yeah, your heart is pumping. There's some type of circulation, but you can speed up that elimination process so much faster by walking. When you're breathing in air and your lungs are expanding, you speeding it up. You're getting that circulation and that circulatory system moving. So whatever is sitting in your body that needs to be pushed out, cleaned out, removed is moving faster, 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 faster. That's why I can't stand working no desk job. Shout out to everybody who got a desk job. But if you do have a desk job and you notice, like, especially if you're older or whatever, move. get up and move, like move. Don't just walk to the cafeteria and go sit down and eat. I mean, like, move. Like, if you in between calls, like, do some squats or, like, do some toe touches or even, you know what I'm saying, do some little side body twists or something. But you gotta get moving. You feel me? Yes. So some fluids flow, like the circulatory system, and it picks up things as it travels, right? It picks up the germs. It picks up the bacteria, blah, blah, blah. It can also pick up cancerous cells. Your lymphatic system is important. It's a little low-key little system, and, yeah, it don't have nothing but a little fluid, but it can pick up things like cancerous cells, viruses, et cetera. It goes hand-in-hand with your immune system. So if you find yourself getting sick a lot, there are many reasons and ways a person could get sick. I'm not saying it's a one-size-fits-all thing. But for real, if you notice, like, you notice in, like, a lot of sicknesses, you're always getting colds or this, that, and the third, keep in mind, you might have an accumulation of waste. There might be germs or things that entered into your body from the environment, from maybe something you ate, from maybe somebody you was around. You need to move it out. You gotta get that flow moving. You gotta get that circulation circulating. You have to get your lymphatic system in check. So the some fluids flow like circulation. It picks up things as it travels, cancerous cells, viruses, etc. It also picks up and circulates extra fluid that builds up in certain areas of the body. Everybody got an auntie. Most people got an auntie. I got fluid around my legs. I got fluid around my lungs. I got fluid in my back. I got fluid here, fluid there. Why you got all these puddles of fluid? It's because your lymphatic system isn't operating the way it should be operating. It's not operating the way it should be operating. So not only does it pick up germs and bacteria and viruses, it moves extra fluid along. It's like, come on, y'all, let's keep this show on the road. It's a puddle of fluid. It's passing through the ankles. Any extra fluid that's there, it's going to get that fluid moving. Your lymphatic system is very important. So it picks up extra fluid in the body. Any bacteria and germs it picks up are destroyed by the white blood cells. Told you. The lymphatic system is very important. Are picked up by white blood cells in the lymph fluid and keeps them clean. The now clean blood or whatever goes back into your regular bloodstream. So that's what keeps the blood clean. It starts off with your lymphatic system. Those fluids that push out bacteria pick up those cancerous cells, the white blood cells, again, those are the blood cells that fight with germs, fight bacteria, fight off whatever is causing you problems, and then push it back into the body so that you can keep flowing. And, of course, over time, you're going to go to the bathroom, you're going to poop it out, you're going to keep it moving, la-di-da-di, we like to party, right? Taking it back to the eyes, because I'm talking about cloudy vision, and sometimes when I get to talking, y'all, I start at the head and I end up at the feet. But if we're talking about cloudy vision, that fluid that's around your eye that can accumulate waste needs your lymphatic fluids to be as clean as possible so you don't get that little layer of buildup over your eye and you can save yourself a trip to the doctor and you don't have to worry about, oh, I can't see. You can see. You just have things blocking your vision. There's just something there that is clouding your vision. You see what I'm saying? Now, we just talking about physical vision right now, y'all. The church van is just warming up. That's it. We're talking about physical vision for now. So then, let's talk about some foods that contribute to the drainage. You want these lymph things to drain out. Foods that contribute to drainage. A proper diet. Again, there is no one-size-fits-all proper diet. I've come to grips with this. Everybody can't be vegan. Everybody can't live this lifestyle, whatever. You can if you want to, but everybody ain't about that life. So when I say a proper diet, I mean a diet that's proper for you. And that really comes down to you being honest with yourself. You have to really take a real honest, hard look and be like, when I eat this, it causes this. When I eat that, I feel this particular way. And you really have to, like, just push it away. Like, there has to be a level of willpower to say, I'm okay with that. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to have this effect when I eat. So a proper diet is whatever is proper for you, based off the life you live in, the types of foods you honestly can eat. You feel me? And whatever, some people have allergies or whatever, but a proper diet is a diet that is proper for you. Don't jump on every diet bandwagon or whatever just because the bandwagon is rolling through town. I remember when COVID hit, everybody was on the vegan bandwagon. Everybody was on the CMOS bandwagon. I ain't going to say everybody, but a lot of people were on those bandwagons because the bandwagon was rolling through town. But they didn't stick with it because they was just on the wagon. And the wagon just, whatever, it just moved, and some people fell off the wagon. Whatever. But you are more likely to stick to a proper diet when it's your truth, when it's what's true for you. That's it. Whether it's based off blood type or hereditary or this or that, whatever. But finding a proper diet is finding something that is proper for you. I can't say that enough. I cannot say that enough, right? Here's another one that can help to your lymphatic system properly draining. The types of products you use. The amount of chemicals we consume from day to day is sickening. From the air we drink, from keeping this little thing in our hand 24/7, from us having cleaning products in our house, to our fabric softener, our deodorant, our lotion, our shampoo, all of these things have a lot of chemicals. That affects your lymphatic system. When we put these deodorants and these lotions on our skin, it absorbs into our skin. Right after that, the fluids that's flowing through is trying to push this stuff through. Like, hold on, what's this? Let me get rid of this. But if we layer it on every single day, we put it on every single day, we put deodorant on every single day, we breathe in this air, we drink all this, whatever people be drinking. We just consume all these chemicals. We keep this doggone phone in our face. Keep this thing in our face, right? This radiation. The phone touched this, we put it down, we pick it back up, you go to the bathroom, you got your phone. You just got all these things coming in at you. It's like overwhelm. That affects how fast or how efficiently the body is pushing out these fluids. So be very mindful of the types of products you use, the amount of those products you use, how often you use those things. And just really take time and look at, this might sound cliche, look at the label. Read the ingredients, y'all. Read the ingredients. That sounds like such a cliche saying, and it sounds like something that a lame would say. Yes, it is. It is. I don't care. I'm not just buying it just because it's popular or just because it smells good. I'm really going to take the time to research and find out what is hindering me from being my best self. What is hindering my vision? What if you out here and you have a cloudy vision and things aren't popping up, why wouldn't you take an extra minute to read a label, to research the quality of the air in your neighborhood? Why wouldn't you take an extra minute? What? When you know you got to make a doctor's appointment and you on your way to have a surgery, are you serious? There's nothing in me that would not say, hold on, let me stop. Let me take a look. Let me see what's really going on. Let me see what's really contributing to this. And it is okay to do a little internet search, y'all. It's okay to jump down the Google rabbit hole. True enough, you can't trust everything that's on Google. But it's a good way to get you to stick your toe in the water. And from that, then you jump down a bigger rabbit hole and you get more information and you go from there. So, yes, the amount of chemicals that you use, chemical exposure plays a big role in lymphatic drainage in your vision, right? My heart aches for people who are on radiation or who are having treatments in these hospitals and they get pumped with this chemical and that chemical. My heart aches for them because when I tell you they are being loaded with chemicals, the same place, the same facility that is supposed to be established for healing is causing so much detriment it causes so much detriment. And I get it. If you got to go to the hospital, go to the hospital. If you broke your leg and you bleed out your behind, go to the hospital. But if you can avoid it and you can just take matters into your own hands, it is 100% okay to take matters into your own hands when it comes to your health. Nobody knows your body like you. Nobody knows how you feel, what your vision is like, but you. You know when you were seeing your best, when you was at your best, when you was optimal. The doctor don't know that. He know what you tell him. Them doctors know what you tell them. They know whatever these little test results pop up, but they don't really know what's best for you. They just got a general idea. And a lot of times the doctor might hit you with a, well, we're going to try this. Let's try that. That's a trial. Call it an experiment. You do not have to subject yourself to being anybody's experiment. Take matters into your own hands. For real, y'all. This is, like, real critical, especially when it comes to our people losing our vision. Why do we have vision problems? Why are we having vision problems? I'm going to get into that later because the church band is warming up. Now the church band is warming up. Church band is warming up. We're going to get into that. But I just want to give some basics first, right, because we're talking about, before we jump into the next level of, like, real mental and spiritual and emotional things that block our vision, I want to give y'all just a little foundation, right? Some of these physical things are the foundation, right? Eating a lot of nutrient-rich foods, right? If it's in the produce section, go check it out. If it's fresh, if it's not in the bag, if they got to spray a little water on it to keep it alive, put it in your basket. Eat that. That's going to help keep your body operated so you can push out these fluids so you don't have to be that grandma or that auntie when you're 50, 60 years old and you got to go to the doctor because you got glaucoma and you got this and that and this and that. You ain't got to be that auntie. You ain't got to be that uncle. We ain't got to be them grandparents. Coming home with them big old black glasses. Come on, I just had my cataracts. We don't have to do that. And if we are in that position and you are right there, you can take matters into your own hands. Don't no doctor got to go cutting and poking and sticking on you. Not for real. Good morning. Morning, Betty. Mwah. But take matters into your own hands when it comes to your health. For real. And if you got a loved one, you got an auntie or uncle or whoever, and you see they struggling with glaucoma, I've noticed this with a lot of older people. Telling them what to eat, pulling teeth. You're pulling teeth. It's like pulling teeth. But if you will bring them a little something, hey, grandma, I bought you something. Boop! Eat this. If you bring it to them, and you don't give them the opportunity to be like, well, what's this? I ain't grow up eating this. And you just kind of just introduce it to them. There you go, Grandma. Open your mouth and eat this. Introduce people who you love to these types of foods. Introduce people who you love to this type of lifestyle. Even if it's just you bringing them a little side salad, or if you bring the fruit already cut up. I noticed my granddad will eat fruit when it's already cut up. If it's whole, he'll look at it and be like, what's this? And then he'll go back to doing whatever he's doing. But if I cut it up or give him, like, little pieces, I'm like, he'll pop a try this. He's like, what's this? I'm like, oh, it's good. It's good. That's what it is. It's good. If I just cut it up and I just hand it to him, I'll be like, hey, it's good. Try it. And he'll try and be like, okay, whatever. You know, whatever, whatever. He old school, but introduce people who you love to those things. Like, just give it to them. Just give it to them. I'm at that point. Like, for real, I'm going to be like, listen, yeah, you asked me to cook. Oh, for real? We're not using no regular butter. Watch out. So, yes, anything that's in the produce section, get it. Okay? All right. So those are all my, like, basics of physical things that cause physical harm to a person's vision. Now, the church band is pulling up, and I want to talk about things that can hinder us internally for my vision. Now, here's one thing. Here's something that I don't think people realize can actually have an effect on your physical vision. Not taking responsibility for things. Very often, we do this subconsciously. I don't think we realize how subconsciously we deteriorate our bodies. If there's something that a person doesn't want to look at, or something they don't want to confront, or something they don't want to really be bothered at, subconsciously we tell ourselves, "Don't look at that. Don't look at that. You don't need to see that." And it could be some type of recording or something that we heard at an early age, and it just plays over and over and over in our head. "Don't look at that. Don't look at that. Don't look at that." And then we grow up and we notice we start losing our vision. We're not looking at things, right? Stuff be right in front of our face, but we don't see it, right? So it's like if there's something in your life that you're not confronting, and when I say confront, I don't mean like run up on somebody. I'm going to confront you. No, when I say confront, I mean you just kind of sit there and look at it and you just address it. You just look at it head on. If there's something in your life you're not confronting, or fear could be a factor, something you're afraid of, that can 100% hit your vision because you subconsciously telling yourself, "I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the condition of my community, so I'm going to move to the burbs." My vision. "I don't want to see the condition of these people, so I'm going to go mingle with these people." "I don't want to see it." I think when we stop telling ourselves that, "I don't want to see this," we take the blinders off, right? We open the veil a little bit because what you're afraid of. There are things that I don't want to see. I'm going to be honest with you. If I see like some fighting or some violence on my timeline, I'm like, "I don't want to see this. Take this nonsense off." True enough. But there are certain things that we have to face up to. We have to take responsibility for, right? When I was talking about taking things into your own hands, that has to be something we take into our own hands. If you see something that's not right, especially with somebody you love, you ain't got to check them. You ain't got to tell them about themselves. But you can just walk up to them and give them some, "Hey, you good? Have you drunk some water today?" "Oh, okay." It could be something as simple as that. Like, you never know what small touch or small piece of advice can really help a person take their own blinders off their life. Because we need more of our people to have clearer vision, right? For real, like, if you think about it, think about how many people wear contacts and glasses or whatever, or who bump into things and don't notice things that be right in front of them. Because the people who can see us, who can see, we have to take more responsibility and just make things obvious to them, right? "Have you drunk some water today? What you eat today? Oh, you ate wings? Did you have any, like, what kind of size you get? You ain't get no green beans with that? Like, you good?" We have to shake it out of our people sometimes. That is what's going to help us open our eyes. I wrote something in my journal. I want to share some of my journal thoughts. I was on the train the other day, and I was going home, and I titled this "Cloudy Visions, Finding Your Way Back." And it went hand in hand. I was like, that's what I'm going to call my show today, "Cloudy Visions and Finding Your Way Back." And I started off right, and I said, y'all don't mind if I read it, please. It don't matter. I'm going to read it anyways. "Being filled or encircled by things that are not clear themselves will cloud your vision, physically and mentally." When I was living life on my own terms, my visions were clear as day. When I laxed up, got reasonable, conforming, things started getting real fuzzy. Wanting to be the star player in another person's game pulled me away from my own game. Everybody got games in life, right? I always wanted to be the best at something. One reason for having such a desire was the fact that I never really was on any real team when I was younger. I was a cheerleader for a week, then my mom pulled me off. I was a flag girl, then we didn't have the money to pay for the uniforms and the trips. I was on the track team. I had to quit. I started flunking. It was senior year. I couldn't afford it. Right? But overall, I never really had that bond with a specific group. I'm going to show you why this has something to do with vision. I found myself competing for money, and that didn't last. Then I wanted to compete and be the best at this and be the best at that. But overall, my visions over time did not stay clear. Over time, my vision began to diminish. When I first worked this first line of being filled or encircled by things that are not clear themselves will cloud your own vision. That's one of the truest things I think we fail to realize. Very often, we find ourselves wanting to be surrounded by people who are just lively and bubbly and have a lot of things going for themselves. And that is all fine and dandy. But you have to ask yourself, what condition are these people in? What real condition are these people in? For real. And when you find yourself surrounded by people who, oh, they got all these degrees and they got all this status and all this notoriety, but listen to the small things they tell you. Do they complain about their health? Do they complain about their problems? Yeah, girl, I had this going on, that going on. You understand that energy is contagious? That energy can latch onto you? And subconsciously, because you find yourself to be one of the people on their teams, one of their confidants, we tend to take on characteristics of those we keep closest to us. Be it family members, friends, associates, right? Kids grow up, start acting just like their mamas and daddies. Friends start talking like the other friends and associates they get. So just because you're hanging around people and they get all this blah, 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 what condition are they in? What type of vision do they have? Are they just a get-up-and-go-to-work type person? Or are they like a man, you know what, I'm getting up going to work, but I'm really about to cut this job out because I really got a vision for myself. I really see something that's bigger than me. I really see that I have to do more with this lifetime than I'm done with any other lifetime. Because this lifetime is the only lifetime that we in. We can't live in the past. We can't be like, oh, I come from royalty, so this lifetime I'm going to chill. What you mean you going to chill? How you come back here if you were so royal? How you get here? What happened? Ain't no chilling. As long as you in the body, ain't no chilling. You have to be very clear with your vision, right? Every step you take has to be a step upwards. And the people you hang around, those people have to be a step up. I'm sorry. We can't just keep hanging with the same type of people all our life. Just because 5 years ago that type of person was driving a Hyundai and now today, oh, this person got a Benz. But are they the same type of people? You have to evolve. You have to surround yourself with people who have clear visions because they will speak clarity into you. They will bring clarity to your own vision. You'll be like, damn, I didn't even think about that. You know what? You're right. You got a point. I know I got a point because I'm clear. I'm clear on what I want to do in life. And I don't want to be around nobody who's not clear because you're going to throw me off. You won't throw me off. And I think deep down inside, that's what a lot of us strive for. That's what a lot of us want. We yearn for that. That's why we fall into this place of I'm not really fooling with nobody. I'm just going to focus on myself. I understand you want clarity, but that clarity can be enhanced. That vision can be cleared up 10 times faster by hanging with people who are themselves clear. And you could tell a person who is clear by the way they operate. I don't care what nobody say. It's a lot of people that got a lot of visions and a lot of plans, and they got a notebook full of every dream they ever had in their life, a notebook full of poetic dreams of I want to's and shoulda, coulda, woulda's and blah, blah, blah. And that is all fine and dandy. I want you to write that out. But a person that's really clear, their actions will be clear. Their lifestyle will be clear. Their habits will be clear. It's going, you can look at that person and be like, oh, they about their business. They about that life. Their relationships that they're in are clear, right? Their spouses. You could tell a person's spouse says a lot about a person's vision. I don't care what nobody say. Who you are connected to, who you call yourself building a foundation with, says a lot about the vision you have for yourself. Point blank, period. And we all make mistakes. We all fumble. We all find ourselves attached to people who are not the best for us. That's what life is. It's a journey. You're going to bump into things on this journey. But who you allow to stick around, that's different. That's different. Just because somebody was there for you when you was down, just because somebody was there for you from day one, blah, 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 great. Give them a round of applause. Give them a cookie. Give them a flower. Give them something. But you have to really ask yourself, what kind of vision does this person have for themselves? Because people that don't have clear visions for themselves will not bring any clarity to your own vision. They won't. You'll find yourself working 2-3 jobs. You'll find yourself wearing the same old rags. You'll find yourself in going to the same old places because there is no clarity. Expansion comes with clarity. Good morning, Antoine. Good morning, Antoine. Expansion comes with clarity. And when you have somebody in your life who is crystal clear not only about their own vision, but can help bring clarity into your own vision, you will begin to expand. You will begin to expand. So be very clear about that. Who you got in your circle? Who in your life is bringing clarity to your vision, right? Who in your life is living healthy? I don't like hanging with people that's just cool with doing the same old, same old. I'm not cool with that. I'm not cool with that. I'm cool if you cool with going to somewhere that I want to try, if you cool with trying something different. Not saying that it's all about me, but I already know what is unhealthy, what I don't like, and I already know what I don't want to partake in. So I'm not going to partake in it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to partake in it. I'm just not going to subject myself to it. Listen, the second line I wrote, when I was living life on my own terms, my visions were clear as day. When I laxed up, got reasonable, conforming, things started getting fuzzy. If there was ever a period in your life, attract what you are and be your absolute best. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you want clarity in your life, you have to operate as a clear being. You have to operate as a clear being. And I know at times that can be challenging. I was just having this conversation yesterday. It can be challenging to see past the fuzz. It is sometimes, not all the time, but it can be, especially when you've been fuzzy for so long. It almost starts to get comfortable when you don't have no clarity in your vision. You get used to it. You just be like, well, that's just kind of how it is. You just kind of like give up. You just kind of like shrug things off like, and don't be with nobody that's just like, that is detrimental. That is so detrimental. Like, for real. It is. Be around people who are clear about their own visions. Like I said, when I was living life on my own terms, my vision was crystal clear. I need y'all to stay true to what's true to you. What's true to you is what's true to you, the only truth that matters. There is no other truth that matters. All the research in the world, all the statistics in the world, all the studies and this and that, none of that matters if it is not true to you. If you have not observed it and experienced it for yourself, none of it is true. Your truth is your truth. And truth brings clarity. Truth brings clarity. You can even tell that, and I'm going to go back to the physical aspect. You can even tell that from the foods you eat. If you eat things that's causing you acne and digestive problems, and now you got to go to the doctor and get diagnosed with that, there's no truth in that food. Even the foods you eat have truth in them. Clear foods, light foods, things that make you feel energized, there's truth in that. There's truth in that. I promise you, that's it. And this is just my opinion. If it comes from this dirt we walk on, that we build on, that we plant in, there's truth in that. And you need truth in everything that you do in your life to have a clear vision. There needs to be truth in the foods you eat, the content you consume, the people you hang around, there needs to be truth in that. Hanging around liars, hanging around people that play games, ain't no truth in that. So there will be no clarity in that. Your vision will get fuzzy when you consume yourself with those such things. It will. There's no question about that. True. I'm already knowing. Juan, I'm already knowing. So living life on your own terms is doing what is best for you. Do what's best for you. Do what's best for you. If it means you got to hurt somebody's feelings, hurt their feelings, do what's best for you. That is your truth. That is your clarity. That's what your vision is. Your vision lies within you. You see what's going on inside of you. Nobody else. Everybody else just know what you tell them. And sometimes it can be hard for us to articulate ourselves. It can be hard for us to articulate how we feel, what's going on the inside. It really can be. But when you get that muscle and you can begin to articulate yourself and you can begin to, like, speak up and stand on what you stand on and do what's best for you. Live life on your own terms. I'm an advocate for that. I never had that. Live life on your own terms. Like, I don't care what nobody say. Here's something else that I noticed in life that clouds my vision. Competition. Competition. I'm going to tell you why competition clouds my vision. Sorry, I had to get some water. Competition clouds my vision because why am I competing? What is there to compete for? There's enough room for everybody to eat. Why we got to compete? What is the race? What is the race about? I never care for competition, ever. When I see people who are like, oh, I'm going to be better than you. I'm going to beat you. Woo, woo, woo. I bet you I get this before you get that. Go ahead, pimp. You got it? The hell? I'm not finna compete. For what? It's enough room for everybody. And when I was in environments, I'm going to tell you this. When I was in environments that were, like, super competitive, quote, unquote, I hated it. I hated it. Because then it breeds this thing that I felt clouded my vision. Because when you're competitive, you be so focused on what the other person doing, you forget what you're doing. You be so focused and looking at what the other person doing, looking at their numbers, looking at their stats, looking at this, looking at that. When it's like, you need to look at yourself. You need to check yourself. So to me, competition clouds my vision. I don't like being a competitive person. Not like that. Like, sure, there's some friendly competition. Like, okay, who's going to win this game of spades or whatever? Like, yeah, I'm cool with having a little friendly competition, but all this, I bet you I'm going to do this before you. Go ahead. Boy, get out of my face. I don't care. Go ahead. I'm not here to compete with you. The only person I'm competing with was the version of me that I was yesterday. I need to be better than her. I need to be better and do more than what happened yesterday. I need to be smarter. I need to be clearer than I was yesterday. And then the next day, I'm going to compete with that previous day's version of me. And after that, I am the competition. I don't have to compete with nobody. I don't have to focus on you and worry about you and who you. Certain environments, I just don't thrive in, y'all. And I promise you, being in an environment that you don't thrive in will cloud your vision. So how do you find your way back in all of this? That's how you find your way back. You got to remove yourself from an environment that does not breed life, that does not breed clarity, that does not breed happiness. What is there to compete about? It's enough room at the top for everybody. There's no need to put somebody else down, to step on their neck, even if it's in a quote-unquote joking or friendly way. That ain't friendly to me. I don't do nice nasty. I don't do nice nasty. I don't have the capacity for that. Because it's either one or the other. You either nice or you nasty. Don't give me a combination of the two. Because that, to me, that's not clear. What am I looking at? What is this? Is it nice? Is it nasty? I'm confused. And your confusion is about to cause me to be confused. So I'm going to remove myself from this confusion. Because I need clarity in my life. Ain't nobody getting no younger. No younger. In this big old age that I'm in, and my age ain't even that big, in this big old age that I'm in, I'm not about to overly hurt myself and compete with you. You got it, pimp. You go live your life. Go live your life. How do you find your way back? You have to do more research. I don't care what nobody says. Education brings clarity. And when I say education, I don't mean like a standard American education. You have to you have to do your own research. You see these books, you know?
I got those books. I got books down there. I got some more books. I got some more books.
These just a third, if a third of the books that I have. Education brings clarity. Because when you know what you know, can't nobody take it from you. You can't take that from me. Now I'm clear. I got a real clear idea of who I am. I got a real clear idea of what I like and don't like. Can't nobody take that from you. You have to educate yourself in something. And when I say educate yourself, I mean you have to, like, really immerse yourself into it, like, and really get the facts, really get the history of it, right? TikTok is cool. These short reels and videos are cool. But what? Somebody else can make another TikTok and say something that goes totally against the TikTok that you just heard. So which one is true? Which one you going to believe? Or you just going to believe whichever one is trending, whichever one is popular? No, that's how you stay lost. Going with the flow, blowing through the wind, and looking at something and taking it for fact just because it was 60 seconds long will have you lost in this world. If you see something that you like, do a little bit more research, dive a little deeper. If it's a book about it, get a book. Get an audio book. I know a lot of my people is semi-literate. I know we are. It is what it is. It's a hard fact. Listen to the audiobook. Listen to the audiobook so you can listen while you're driving and have your own knowledge. But educating yourself in something brings so much clarity to who you are as a being. Because there's nothing new under the sun. And anything that is beneficial or helpful will get you one step closer to who and what you truly desire in life. We all have some type of desire in life. We just have to get closer to that thing. You feel me? The further we are from that thing that's truly inside of us, it's just an indicator of how cloudy our vision is. That's it. That's it. Period. They're blind people that have crystal clear visions. For real. There are. So educate yourself in something, right? Don't worry about the competition. Become the competition. Do whatever you got to do. So that when your name is spoken, everybody in the room know. Everybody in the room know. Oh, you talking about so-and-so? Oh, you talking about Big Inge? Oh, yeah. I know Inge. Oh, y'all heard about Inge. Oh, yeah. You talking about Big Inge from Chicago? Yeah. Yeah, they talking about me. Do whatever you got to do to make sure that anybody who ever hears your name knows she was crystal clear about what she wanted to do. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. He didn't waste no time. When I think about a person like that, I think of like a Nipsey Hussle. Nipsey was clear. This is just an example, because Nipsey is one of my favorite artists. When Nipsey made the transition in his life to slow down on the game banging, stop smoking weed, Nip went vegan, when he cut out all these other things that people around him were doing, his vision got crystal clear. His vision was crystal clear. And there was nothing you could do to take him from it. Big Ange, all dirt. It's all dirt. When Nipsey got clear about his vision, there was nothing you could do to stop this man. He was on a mission, and everything he did was in the direction of that vision. So that's just another great example of getting rid of things that don't have any truth in it, that aren't pure, that aren't clean. You feel me? Nipsey stopped smoking weed. Like, for real. In his last days, Nipsey wasn't smoking like that. It became very clear to him, and he said this in interviews. I'm not making this up. He said this in interviews. I don't know the exact interview, but there's an interview out where he realized, like, yo, smoking all that weed was clouding my vision. Because when you smoke, You got 1,000 things going through your head. You think about lunch. You think about breakfast. You think about yesterday, last year. You think about 200 years ago. You think 1,000 years in the future. You just kind of go everywhere. And this is not a universal blanket statement for everybody. But I know from experience. Give them that pamphlet. Oh, I left it in my car. I left it in my car. See, Twine, that's why you're supposed to be right here next to me. So you could read the pamphlet, because I left mine in the car. But I'm going to give them that pamphlet. Don't even trip. They're going to get that work. But when Nipsey stopped smoking weed, because he said it was clouding his vision, he was able to see clearer. And a lot of our people smoke so much weed. I don't know if y'all ever hung around some weed smokers, but I done hung around some weed smokers. And I mean like heavy smokers. And when they start talking or going on, they go everywhere. The conversation goes everywhere. Name a weed smoker who can stay on topic. I will wait. They be everywhere. And this is no shade, but drugs and hallucinogenics cloud your vision. How can you be clear when you're talking about this and then you go there and you forget where you put the remote and then you put your car keys in the freezer and you got the ice cream in the trunk? You can't tell me you got a clear vision doing nothing like that. You can't tell me. I don't want to hear it. And I'm not saying people who don't smoke weed have clear visions. That is not true. We all have things that get in our way and cloud our vision. But if I can eliminate some of the things that are clouding my vision, I'm going to do my best to eliminate anything that is clouding my vision so I can not have as much to fight up against, right? So Nipsey is one of my favorite examples of, like, somebody who was crystal clear about his vision. And everybody who hung around him flourished and prospered, brought clarity into the people around him. He built a community. He enhanced his community. You feel me? And not just his community, but with his music, he enhanced other communities. It went all over the world. When you crystal clear as a being, as God body beings, there's nothing that can stop you. Competing for status. I talked about this a little while ago, but being on a paper chase can cloud your vision. To a degree. Now, I like what Steve Harvey said when he said, money don't make you different. It just allows you to be who you naturally are. I agree with that. I need a couple more dollars to really pop my ish. I just need a couple more dollars. I need maybe about 6 more zeros. I won't even say 6. If I get about 5 more zeros and a comma. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not about to do anything for money. If I'm going to do anything for money, it's going to be something rooted in my purpose. What is my vision board? When I wrote my vision board, and y'all drop some comments. You let me know. But when I wrote my vision board, I have this little note here. It says, create a business that is rooted in purpose. And I love that. I have to constantly remind myself to stay rooted in my purpose. Because if you just out here chasing the bag and you just like, I'm going to do anything for this money. I'm gonna start this brand. I'm going to sell a little of this on the side. I'm going to get this side hustle. To me, you might end up a little lost. And this is not a one-size-fits-all thing. But if you are rooted in purpose, you can't fail. You can't fail because there's a why for that. Your why has to be bigger than that's in the way. And sometimes when we operate solo dolo, we want to be solopreneurs. We want all the esteem. We want all the prestige. Like, oh, I did this on my own. I gathered out the mud and woo-woo. You ain't got to do all that struggling. Just surround yourself with somebody who also has a clear vision of themselves and for you. And you can get there 10 times faster. What else is on your vision board and what else you got for your vision? Oh, that is a great question, Swan. I'm glad you asked. So this is my vision board. I don't mind sharing my vision board. I'm going to get up and share it. So this is my 12-month vision. So I have, like, some words of encouragement. So I have, like, I put inconsistent, but then I scratched out the end to be more consistent. I have focus. I have confident, courageous. I have honest. Sometimes I got to be honest with myself more than anybody else. So this ain't for nobody else. It ain't that I be lying to y'all. Sometimes I be lying to myself. So I got to stop lying to myself about certain things. Impactful. I have a little saying here. Don't do what you got to do. Do better. I have that right there. I have just this cute little drawing or whatever. And then I have some goals and things that I want to hit for my life. So I have like a budget goal. I have some goals for Veggie Brunch, my business. And if you see here, I have renowned. Like it's going to be very well known. So I have a vision for that. Then I have this little saying down here that says, what would happen if you never... I have create a business that is rooted in purpose. I have some vegan ideas, and it's mostly like new recipes, no bread, because I got to cut out the bread. Go vegan, not go vegan, go raw, and just some little recipe ideas. And then down here, I have the thing that I want to do most, which was influence. And it's funny this is here because I have podcast / live stream. That's so funny. And here I am on a live stream. That is so funny. I wasn't even thinking about that. I don't even think I was thinking about that when I wrote this. But anywho, I have the amount of followers that I want. And again, this is within 12 months. I want to complete 5 audiobooks and just do more lifestyle content. So this is my 12-month vision board. And, of course, I got some cute little stuff on blah, blah, blah. So this is – I like vision boards because it just gave me a minute to just sit down and see myself and see what I wanted, which wasn't necessarily here right now at this moment. So I love vision boards as a way to help you find yourself back. And, again, this is just my 12-month vision. And I think a lot more people should just sit down, especially with their partners or their friends and their kids and families, and make vision boards a real thing. Like, just sit down with yourself and just look. Look at what's wrong. Look at what you want to make right. Look at where you want to be, who you want to be, how you want to become it, and just put it in a way that resonates with you. Like, for me, these colors and these patterns and these just different things, they resonate with me. Like, it's just kind of who I am. So I like doing vision boards. Oh, and then I have – that's my vision board. But I have the last name of my family that was established in 2024. So, and that's this year. So – just take some time to sit down and just do a vision board. I love vision boards. I wish I would have done more vision boards when I was younger. Just to take that time to just, like, just be. And just take all these ideas that I have and put it on paper. That's just one step closer to really being who you want to be. Just take it out of your head and get it on paper. Take it out of your head and get it on paper. For real. Because why is it in your head? What's in our head should be not just be in our head, but we should actually make it a real thing. Right? Like this little girl who riding the bike with the tree in the background and all these nice houses. Like, that's what I see for myself. Like, that's what I want to see for myself. It's a vision. I'm clear about this. And I'm so clear about this that I took it from my head. I found a little image that represents it, and I filled it in, and I gave it some life. I gave it some color. Like, this is my vision. My vision is to, I'm very clear to not do what I just got to do, but to do better. I'm very clear about that. I'm tired of doing what I got to do. Because what you really got to do is do better. That's it. I don't know where we got this idea that doing what you got to do means to do the bare minimum. That's called doing the bare minimum. That's not what you got to do. That's the bare minimum. Do better. Right, Antoine? We ain't got to do what we got to do. We got to do better. We got to do better. Okay, I'm talking about cloudy visions. My bad, I get off track sometimes. I think as a child, one thing that really clouded my vision was the fact that I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things that I wanted to do. My parent and I had to tell nobody how to raise their kids because my father always told me, you can't tell no grown person how to raise their kids, and I believe that to be true. My father was a very wise man. He did not tell no wrong person how to raise their kids. But I do realize that by not being allowed to do what you want to do early on in life, and this goes back to us having solutions for our community, for our people, taking responsibility for the generations that we're creating. Allowing kids to do what they want to do in life, as long as it is constructive, helps them be very clear about who they are. A lot of our kids are confused out here, and I'm talking like I'm an old head, and I'm not even that old. I was their age a little while ago. I was just their age the other day. But a lot of them are confused. They are. I don't care what nobody say. A lot of people are confused. The girls want to be boys. The boys want to be girls. Some girls want to smoke weed. Some boys want to impress. Like, it's a lot of confusion. You feel me? They don't know what they want to do in life. They want to play video games all day. They just want to make TikToks and do dances. And it's like, okay, cool. But a lot of our kids are confused. A lot of teenagers are confused. A lot of young people are confused. And it started with, and I can speak from personal experience, it started with not being able to do what you want to do because it's almost like being invalidated. When you ask for something and someone tells you no, especially at a young age, for my opinion, it made me think, am I wrong? Is this what I'm not supposed to do? It brought confusion to me. So then I tried to make up for that by doing other things, right? Getting in trouble, sneaking with boys. That's all that was. That was confusion. I ain't really care for them. I was just confused. I'm like, well, what else should I be doing? Because I wanted to be a gymnastics. I wanted to learn how to tap. I wanted to be a cheerleader. But now I'm confused. So what am I supposed to do? Like, validate people. Validate your kids. This thing about cloudy vision, it starts at an early age. This ain't just an old people thing. This ain't an old people disease. This thing starts very early on. A lot of young people do not have clear visions in their life, and it shows by their actions. I was on the train yesterday, a bunch of kids. I'm talking about eighth graders throwing up whatever, talking about an old head was trying to tell them, like, what your books at? He talking about, boy, I want to read books. We gang bang. I'm like, you so confused. You can't be for real. You can't be for real. And then there was a dude behind me. I don't know if y'all from Chicago, but if you're from Chicago, you know the little dudes that be selling loud on the red line, loud, squares, packs. It was a dude behind me. Comes on, man, look here, Pops, man. These young kids don't want to hear that. I got a son. He don't want to hear that. I bet he don't, because look at you. You out here selling weed on the train. Come on, be for real. Like, we know who we naturally are, and we know we really came to this earth to do, and a lot of things we want to accomplish. But when we invalidate our children and tell them no for whatever reason, like, oh, I ain't got enough money. Find the money. Let your baby do gymnastics. Are you serious? You might have a whole Olympian on your hands. Let that baby do gymnastics. What? Let that baby do photography. Get that camera, put it on a payment plan, put it on layaway. Let that child be who that child wants to be, because I promise you, we know what it is we want to do early on in life. I promise you, most people here knew exactly who they wanted to be, what they wanted to do, and why they came to Earth at a very early age. And it probably resonated with them at least by the age of five, we all had a very clear idea of what we wanted to do. And then we started to reach for these different things, to accomplish these goals, and reach for these different projects and outlets. And then we were told no. In some way, shape, or formation, we were invalidated. We were made wrong. Making your children wrong is detrimental. Let them be. If that boy want to be a professional dancer, that don't mean he want to necessarily hop on a pole. Maybe he want to go to the Joffrey School of Ballet. You know how many great black male ballerinas we get that ain't gay? It's a lot of good, strong, straight up and down, married with kids, male black dancers. That's important. That's a form of art. It's a form of creativity. Let that girl wear her hair in a cute little bun and be a cheerleader and go out here and go like this and do whatever, and so she can be cute with all the girls. And not be that. That girl might grow up to be a fashion designer. That girl might grow up to be a women empowerment speaker because of what she learned at an early age from being on the cheerleading team. Right? Nothing happens by mistake. None of us are doing things, especially at an early age. We don't reach for things by mistake. When we are young and we don't have a lot of words to express ourselves, we just go off instinct. We just go off that thing that's naturally inside of us. So when we reach for something, if your child is reaching for something, I know society tells you boys should play football and girls should be scientists or whatever, but if that child has a different idea and is reaching for something different, let that child be. Don't be the reason a child's vision gets blurred early in life. You don't have to be. There's no reason to control them to that degree.
and where they're asking you for little things, and the answer is no. Like, I think I told y'all this story of why when I was on the cheerleading team and my mom pulled me off. I love my mama. Shout out to my mama. But, boy, I wish she would have sat her behind down on this day. When I was a cheerleader, I was a cheerleader for 1 week. And I was so excited about being a cheerleader because I had never been a part of any groups that had girls. I had never. My mama got 3 kids. I'm the only girl. All my cousins are predominantly male. I had one female cousin, but she's younger than me. So she came along after the fact. I wanted to be a part of a girl's group. Like, I wanted to know what it felt like to be, like, a girl. I didn't know what it felt like to be a girl. Not for real. Like, besides from getting up, getting dressed on Sundays. Other than that, thank you, Angela, for speaking your power. Thank you for listening, Deborah. But other than that, I really didn't know what it felt like to be a girl. So I'm on the cheerleading team, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm surrounded by all these. I'm like, oh, my God. And, like, the girls would be looking for me, like, after school. They'll be like, Angela, you coming to practice? And I'll be like, oh, my God. Like, they want me to come. Like, they want me to be a part of the group. And I was like, yeah, I'm coming or whatever. And I was so happy. And I remember one day we were in a little huddle, and we were learning a new cheer. We were learning cheer, and the cheer was we was learning how to cheer out cheerleader. And it went C-H-E-E-R-L-E-A-D-E-R-S, oh, yes, because we are the best. I will never forget that cheer. And it was a super simple. It was just like a sideline cheer, like something that the cheerleaders would cheer on the sideline. And my mama must have came up in there and got into it with the coach. My mama was mad because the coach made her daughter the captain, and I get it. All the other girls should have had a fair chance of trying out to be the captain. I totally get it. That makes total sense, right? But me being me, I was so excited to be a part of this group. I didn't care who the coach was and who the captain was. I'm just excited that I have other female friends. I'm just excited to not be the only girl in the room anymore. Like, I'm excited, right? My mama getting to it. She arguing with the other mamas, and they all carrying on. And then my mama walked over to me and was like, come on. I was like, what you mean? Come on, practice this part. Like, girl, we got another hour. Like, go, you go sit in the car. I'll be outside. She's like, come on, Amber, come on, come on. And then I get up, and I'm like, what are we going? What are we going? She's like, we're going home. I'm like, we coming back? She's like, no, you ain't coming back. Boom. I was crushed. I'm like, why? She's like, whatever, whatever, whatever. Then I hit her on the phone with the friend, with her friend. She's like, yeah, because this girl, she just made her daughter the coach, I mean the captain of the team, just because that's her daughter. In the back of my mind, I'm like, so what? If I was her mom, I would have did the same thing. I would have made my daughter the captain. Duh. That's common sense. At least that's how I was thinking when I was a little kid. So I didn't understand. And then the next day I went to school, and the girls were like, Ansel, you coming to practice today? And I was like, oh, I don't think so. And then the day after that, they was like, Ansel, you coming to practice? And I was like, no. Like, everything about me just dropped, and I was, like, so confused. Like, why can't I be a part of, like, any groups that have girls? Like, it clouded my vision of who I was as a woman, as a female, because I wasn't allowed to just be a part of something that I really wanted to be a part of. And shout out to my mom. This ain't no shade. It's a real story. It just really happened, and it just really affected me. It really had me feeling, oh, wait. You feel me? And then from there on out, a lot of my associates and things that I would do was mostly, like, guy groups. Like, I was the cool girl that would always, like, help the football players out, give them answers to their homework. You feel me? I would always crack jokes with the guys in the corner. Not necessarily that I was a tomboy, but I just wasn't super clear. Like, my vision about who I was as a person just wasn't super clear. So I just kind of fell into whatever group would just accept me. You see how that happens? You see how a child's vision can get blurred, and they just not have any clarity about who they are as a person when they aren't just allowed to just be? Did you let your mother know how you felt then or later? I have not. She'll be here in June. She's coming to visit. And I think we're going to have a little sit down. I'm going to have her on the podcast because I'm going to – this isn't a podcast. This is a live stream. We're going to call it a podcast. I'm going to have her on the show because I want to do a topic on natural birth, and my mother gave birth to me and my two brothers naturally. And I just respect that so much, and I just want to learn from her and get some tips, and I want to share those tips and things with other people. But there are a lot of things that I haven't addressed, not like verbally with my mom. And I love her to death. That's my mama. That's the OG, triple OG. There would not be no Big Inch if it was not a Big Kim. But, no, Deborah, I haven't. Not yet. Yeah, I'm getting there. Baby steps. How many parents disrupt the vision of their children because of their own fears? We need to learn to see life from the point of view of our children. I think the biggest thing with that is that when we get older, we've been through so many things, and we just feel just straight up and down that we know what's best. We know what's best, right? We take on this position of, I've been there, done that. I already know what you're going through. I already know how you feel. No, you know how you feel. You went through what you went through. You have your own idea. But this child, this new person, they have their own idea. They have their own life, their own journey, their own path to live. So who are we to interrupt what they see for themselves, what they feel? Who are we? The nerves we have to say, no, little boy, little girl, you're going to come home and do some homework. You're not going to participate in this because I don't like that person over there, and I know what's best for you. And to a degree, we do know what's best for our children with health and going to bed early and, you know, taking baths regularly and, you know, hey, you really shouldn't hang out with those people because those people, they do drugs over there, and I really don't want you to hang around those people because blah, blah, blah. But if it comes to, like, an extracurricular activity, the nerve of us as adults to be like, no. Get out my face. Never heard that story. I know. I never shared that story with you or mom because I always just kind of sat on it. And I just kind of was like, whatever. Do you even remember when I was a cheerleader, Thomas? We was at St. Benedict. I think you had graduated by the end, but I was a cheerleader for like a week. I'm pretty sure you had graduated by the end, but I don't even know if you remember me being on the cheerleading team for like that little blink of a second. But yeah, I ain't like that. I ain't mad about it. Yeah, I was in high school. Yeah. So yeah, that's my brother, y'all. He remembers I was a cheerleader, but he never heard the story of how I got off the cheerleading team. But I did. But anywho, let's not just cloud these kids' vision. Let's let children be themselves. And there's something very beautiful about a child having a clear vision for themselves. Because when I look at children, I look at miniature versions of the adult that had them. And when I hear adults tell their children no, put all these limits and restrictions on them, it makes me see now in this age that I'm in, man, that's so sad because this person had all those restrictions put on them as a child. So now they're projecting that onto their child. And it just becomes a generational thing of no, you can't. And then we wonder why kids grow up to be criminals. Because they wasn't allowed to do nothing else. They're looking for an outlet. They want to do something. We have kids that want to be writers and poets, and they want to be videographers. So it might look like they're just fooling around and wasting their time when they're young. But let me tell you something about that, the academic school curriculum. That's not everything. Just because a child got an A on a test, that don't bring a whole lot of status and stature. What is that? What is he really going to do with that A in geography? What can he really do with that in the real world? What can that child really do with that? What is he really going to do with this A in algebra? Because you know good and well in your good, grown, ripe age, you ain't never used the algebra formula ever in your real life. Whether you was at the grocery store trying to figure out how much a chicken was per pound, per ounce, you ain't never bust out no Pythagorean theorem and was like, Y divided by X, so if I take 13, you never used it. So why do we push this down our kids' throat? It creates, and this is from my own experience, it creates this idea that I have to be prestigious. I have to have this certain look. I have to have these many accolades behind my name. And accolades do help, but that's not who you are. That's just what you've accomplished. who you are is something totally different. Allow that child to have a clear vision about who they are. Allow that child to have a clear vision of who they are, because we all know who we really want to be, who we really are, very early on in life, right? I don't support, here's something else that can cloud a child's vision, and this can go from a mental and physical point as well. We have to be very mindful of the way we discipline our children. There are children who literally grow up with, like, disorders and physical disorders because of the amount of pain we inflict as adults on them in the name of, quote-unquote, discipline. Do you understand that a child going to school with scars and crying themselves to sleep and shivering and snot coming out their nose because of a pain you inflicted on them can really make them question why they're even alive? Do you understand that? Childhood depression starts in a lot of ways very early in life. And in a lot of ways, it can start in people's homes. And that can cause a lot of problems when we talk about us being clear of who we are. A, B, C, D, F. We need geography. We have to know where we are and where we want to go. True. I agree. Just an example. But if we're talking about, like, the confusions that a child experiences early in life, and what physical beating of our children, how confusing that can be. I can't stress this enough. Now I was a product of a good damn. I was a product of that. But I used to be like, now why you had to do all that? Why you couldn't just talk to me? I promise you I did. I used to wonder that as a child, like, why you got to do all that? Why we can't just talk? Because I grew up with two totally different types of parents. I grew up with one parent that ruled with an iron fist, and I grew up with another parent that ruled with an iron voice. The one parent who ruled with an iron fist, I used to always wonder, why am I here then? Why you got me living here? Why you want me to live here? Send me to go live with my other people. Because you over here doing all this and all that, I could just go live somewhere else. Why am I here? You see that? That's confusion. That's confusion. I wasn't even clear about why I was even in this person's house. As a child, I'm like, why are we doing all this? I thought you was my so-and-so. Like, I thought you was, I looked up to you. Like, that's why I chose you as a parent, because there was something in you that I admire. But you doing all this? Confusion. But then the other parent who ruled with an iron voice, it was communication nation up in them. I get to acting up. That parent was like, so what's going on? Talk to me. And then I was like, oh, yeah, well, blah, 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 blah. And I was so much, I was able to be myself around that parent. Kids only get sneaky when they are confused and they're not clear about themselves and they're not clear about what they want to do in life. So they sneak around because they've been invalidated, right? They've been made wrong. They get punished. They get beat, right? So then they're like, I don't really know about this. I'm going to sneak out with you. And my mama go to work at 12, and I know she get off. So, yeah, that's because they were just, it's just confusion. They've just been invalidated. I need us to not inflict so much child confusion. Wow, that is a full show. It is a full show. It is. Because a lot of us are products of that. And it took a lot of us a long time to get through that. And it took us to go through all these different trials and tribulations because we were just so confused. We had years of false information. We had years of confusion about what a parent is, what a mother is, what a father is. We was confused about that because we naturally know, we was naturally clear, we could naturally clearly see a parent is somebody who you choose to raise you, to love you, to nurture you. But then when you getting uppercut to the jaw, when you getting a two-piece spicy because you brought home an F instead of a tutor, when you getting a two-piece instead of a tutor, it's a problem. It's a problem. It's a problem. It breeds confusion. And when that child is getting a tutor and that's still not working, okay, boom, let's have some communication. Put the boxing gloves up. You say that for somebody else. Go get paid for that. Don't bring that home. But let's just be clear about who we are as a people. So I'm almost about done with my show. If y'all want to call in and chime in, please call in because I would love to hear anything that you've helped
do in your life that has brought you clarity, whether it was cleaning up your diet, whether it was being very clear about the people you hung around, the type of content you consume. I'll tell you something else that helped me clear my vision: meditation. And when I say meditation, I mean, like, sometimes I had to sit with myself, or sometimes I would sit in a room and just be, like, being still brings clarity, because you aren't trying to process all these different things and elements from the environment that are coming in at you 1,000 miles an hour. Like, you can just be. Sit down and just be. Just exist in your body just comfortably and just let it come to you. And I promise you, when I cleaned up my diet, in addition to cleaning up some of the mental practices I have, my physical vision did clear up. Now, I don't have the best vision, like, physically. Like, these, the reason I don't have on glasses now is because I have in contacts. But that's a whole other story, too, of how I even got to the point where I needed glasses, which I'm not going to get into. I don't want to make it seem like I'm playing a game, blame game, and I'm blaming a particular person for my condition, because I'm not. But I did notice, like, the sharpness of my vision. Sometimes it gets a little blurry here and there with my contacts. You have a caller, 11-11. I'm not sure the name, what I call. Okay, cool. But, yes, cleaning up my diet helped. And hold on. I have someone who wants to speak. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi.
Hello? Well, praise God and good morning.
Good morning. What's your name?
Got it. Good morning. Good morning. My name is the Chi-Town Apostle.
So we calling in with fake names? Okay, what's up, Mr. Apostle?
Well, it ain't no,
what you say?
That's my nickname. That's my nickname from the Apostolic Church of God, 63rd in Dorchester.
What's up, Pastor?
Oh, God.
What's up? How can I help you?
I've been enjoying your show this morning. And you touched on so many things, and you talked about veritas, the Latin word for truth, and the limb system, and the system, and the truth system, and you talked about things coming from the earth that we need to put in our bodies because that's connected to truth, and that is so true. It's connected to the spirit. And the reason, so the one thing I wanted to touch on, because you talked about doing research, and you talked about doing your proper research, and when you talk about when you touched on the drug thing, because it's been so prevalent in distracting truth and causing so much confusion this so-called drug epidemic, because that's what it is. It's an epidemic, and you have a whole industry and a system designed to have you. I mean, every commercial you see, everything you see is about take this drug, take this drug. If you feel this way, take this drug. If you feel this way, take this drug.
Yep.
Do this and change your body. Change, you know. That part of it, when you talk about the drugs, when we talk about the first drugs, the things that were called drugs, were called the food of the gods, the poppy plant, the coca plant, and the marijuana plant. Those were the three foods that were throughout history, going back over 5,000 years, have been called food of the gods. They were put here in the earth, well, from God, for us. And it's right there Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 through 32. When it talks about God is giving everything from every herb and everything for you shall be food. Every bird and creature
living
on earth. So that's the research I want to touch on, because I was like you, totally natural, teetotaler, and looked at folks in through that confused lens and looked at them as others, as they're doing this or they're doing that, as opposed to saying why and what they were searching for, and after getting hurt myself, and then having to learn to walk again, and having to deal with man's medicine, and them trying to give me whatever I wanted. You can have whatever you want, sir. I'm like, no, I don't want none of it. I'm trying. I want to be natural and whole, And so, God, I've been getting back to that. And like you were saying, and what you've been speaking on, I just wanted to comment on that and let people know that they really need to look at that part of that research, because that's what that evil, that Satan has tried to use to confuse. And we've seen it how it's been used in the community. We saw what crack did to the African-American community. And we continue to see what these other chemicals and things they're doing, and calling it this or calling it that or calling it marijuana or calling it this or calling it that and putting in your community, we have to be responsible for what grows out of our earth and what's being distributed and what's being sold and what's being partake of in our communities. We have to start taking responsibility for that, and we have to start learning that by learning the system and the system we live in, which is, by the way, I don't care what nobody else say, I'm an American. An American is in the system the system that this country was formed under is the first of its kind where the people have a say so in their governance and who leads them and who works for them. And if we don't take responsibility and learn how that system works, then we're going to constantly be in last place. And constantly talking about what's wrong, as opposed to looking at the things that are right and focusing on what's right and doing what's right. And that's why I want to just commend
that's
you
true.
and talk about doing that research in those areas, because I'm a private person and I've been that way all my life, but I have to speak on that plant. On that plant that actually God found me, because I wasn't searching for no, I wasn't looking for no line. It came to me as part of my healing and part of me learning to walk again and being part of my pain management. And at the same time, I also have to be cognizant of though of what those sources are. The same way that they put that stuff that those chemicals in our community and those toxic things in our community, if we don't take responsibility and say, hey, you know, I'm gonna have this over here and have this over here and have these options and give those options and teach those options, then they won't. How will they know unless somebody teaches and shares the knowledge with them? So. I just wanted to chime in and say, put that part of the research in there and commend you on what you're saying, because I see you on fire this morning. You're on fire. The Holy Spirit has your way.
Hey, you know, today is actually a chill day for me. There have been other days where I have been much more passionate and engulfed in such topics, but I appreciate you for chiming in on that, because it's nice to hear other people who also see and agree that there's a level of responsibility we have to take for clearing our own vision, for clearing up our own conditions that we have in life. As a people, as a race, we do have to take that responsibility, and nothing that requires responsibility is always going to come easy. It can't always be put in a 60-second TikTok. Sometimes you really do have to say, let me sit down for about 20, 30 minutes, and let me read up on this, or let me find out the why, right? Because a lot of things that are put into our community are rooted in a purpose, and that purpose might not be a beneficial purpose, but it is a purpose nonetheless. So we have to take that time to discover, what is the purpose of this thing? Why are there so many different strands of weed nowadays? Why do they have residue on it? What is this wax? Why? We have to ask why, and I think the generation of, oh, that's just how it is, you know, it is what it is. I think that generation, they came, they saw, they did the best they could, and now it's a new wave, and it's like, no, why? So I appreciate you for calling in, Pastor. I hope to talk to you again, and I hope you catch me on my next live stream. And, thank you.
Peace and blessings until next time.
All right. Have a good day. All right. That was the Chatown Pastor. Oh, and I got another caller. Who is this? Come on, talk to me. Hello. Thank you, Vietta. I appreciate you for watching and giving your input as well. Hello, who is this?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I didn't hear unmuted or the number called, so that's why I wasn't sure whether you were talking to me or not. But
yeah, I'm
I
talking
did,
to you. It just didn't show your name. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Rashida. But as I said, I didn't hear you unmuted or anything. I just heard you say hello, hello. But I agree with the brother wholeheartedly about us being accountable for what's in our environment, especially where we reside. And on that note, I'm thinking about what the mayor has said, that the migrants, that he was going to place them over here on the south side. And
you from Chicago?
Yeah, I was born here. And
okay.
I really don't understand that, simply because if a community, other people in their community say, we want this community to be dry, and they band together, mm-hmm. it's dry, it's dry. Now, we have mm-hmm. more boys in the penitentiary still in there because
yeah.
they couldn't make bond for selling marijuana and the other controlled substance. I was in the court, and this man, a migrant, came up to the judge. He was arrested for a controlled substance. He had, mm-hmm. and this is Almighty God's truth, he had a kilo of some kind of controlled substance. They gave that man 3 years probation. The local
not probation.
Boy, 3 years of 3 years probation. The little black boy.
What for a kilo?
Yeah, but listen, the black boy came up. This is God's truth. I was sitting there, and he had 10 bags. They charged him with, and I'm not for drugs, but I know that's a new trade uh-huh. for us, because our politicians and other folks don't create jobs or get mental health
right.
therapy like we're supposed to. But he
that's right.
charged, the judge charged that black boy with possession of a controlled substance, attempt to distribute, to sell, to manufacture, and gave him 7 years in the penitentiary. So
treacherous.
That woman that just got off this line is absolutely correct. We do all that jabber jab, but we don't be accountable for our own community. Now here, the migrants, they want to have more control of growing controlled substance, like that
Uh-oh.
Man that was in the court. Okay, this is where I feel. That man was in the court. And he got 3 years probation, and the black boy got 7 years. So
yeah.
I think a kilo is bigger than 7 bags. I'm not sure. I mean, 10 bags or whatever.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know, and I don't want to know.
In our community, now we're going to have to live with them in our community, and we ain't saying nothing about it. The homeless Americans
yeah.
have been lying on the ground, on the concrete, but ever since I knew there was homeless. But the majority of the homeless are African Americans. And
mm-hmm.
worst of all,
hey, Miss Rashida.
Huh?
Miss Rashida, I don't mean to interrupt, but I got to interrupt because
okay,
you
no,
got
cool.
a hot topic.
Huh?
You got a hot topic, and I got to wrap my show up. But listen, I appreciate
okay,
you for
yes,
being in tune
and
for seeing the video.
I'm sorry. I always wind up calling when it's time for you all to get off the show. So I just wanted to say that brother is absolutely right, and we need to help more black brothers like him to stand up, because we are too docile people, just like the slave mentality. That's all. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Bye. Rashida, Miss Rashida, calling in with the hot tea, baby. She done gave me the update, honey. Another caller, Andrew, you can. I got one more caller. I'm about to wrap up.
Admiral Nelson Bay, do you hear me? I need to hear back from you so that you, so I know that you're here listening. You hear me?
Hey, I'm about to wrap up my show. Can you call in next time and we can talk a little bit more on my next show?
I think that's a yes.
All right, so I'm about to wrap it up. Thank you for my brother chiming in because Miss Rashida called in with today's hot topic. And she gave me the update that they didn't charge the black boy with 7 years, but the other boy then got 3 months probation. And my brother has updated me because that is not my entry, but my brother knows a little bit more about these types of measurements and whatnot. So a kilo is just a measurement. It depends on what the substance is. Well, thank you for bringing that clarity because I did not know that. I did not know that. But that ain't what this is about. Okay, so we're going to wrap this show up. I love y'all for watching. And on a note, I'm going to tie everything that I said, and I'm going to bring it into one big closing bubble. And the closing bubble is be mindful of what you eat. If you want to make sure that your eyes are in good, healthy condition, you have to make sure that a lot of things are in order, but today we touched on the lymphatic system. And I want you to remember that the lymph is a fluid that runs through your body, and it picks up bacteria, and it carries out germs because it has white blood cells in it. And it's going to fight the germs and the bacteria that are in any tissues or organs of your body. So if you find yourself having cloudy vision, cataracts, or whatever, be mindful that you want to make sure that your lymphatic system is properly functioning. It is properly pushing out toxins and things like that. You also want to be mindful of the people you hang around. You hang around people with clear visions. You speak life into people and only allow them to speak life into you. Do not fall into a sympathy pool of problems and shoulda, coulda, wouldas. In order for you to pull yourself out of the mud and be the best version of yourself, you have to have a clear vision. You have to get very clear about your vision. You have to, well, I won't say you have to, but you can also do a vision board. Make your visions real. Put them in writing, right? Put down the things that you see for yourself, you want to see for yourself, the things that need to be improved. We don't have to walk around in a state of confusion. We don't have to shrug our shoulders and just say, that's what life is. No, we're bigger and better than that, right? So get very clear about your vision. Get very clear about who you are. And let's stop invalidating our babies. Let that baby be, do, and have whatever they want to be, do, and have. It is our job as parents, as uncles, as aunts, as big cousins, big brothers, big sisters, to allow them to flourish and to find their own way, walk their own path, have a good sense of who they are. It is not our job to tell them who they are because we don't know. We are here for the journey with them. They know who they are. We don't. Let's slow down. I won't even say slow down. Let's just stop invalidating our children. If they want to dance, let them dance. If they want to cheer, let them cheer. And if money is an issue, figure out a way to make it go right. Parent, make it go right. Get on a payment plan. Put it on layaway. Just make it go right so that child can be the best version that they want to be. You can have a child that is proud to have you as a parent. We don't have to live all these extra generations. I can't stand my mama. I can't stand my daddy. Men is men don't even talk. We don't have to live that way. That is not natural. That is not natural. That is so unnatural. I can't even put it to words. That is not natural. So let's just get back in tune with who we are. I love you dearly for watching. Catch me next Thursday. I don't know what the topic is going to be next Thursday, but y'all going to find out at the same time as I will. I'll tell you that. I love you. We're going to close out with this video from my friend Naima, who is the owner of this media company called The Female Solution. And you're just going to see a little ad from her, and I will see you all next time. I love you too, oodles and voodoos. Bye.
We've come to the end of our show today. If you listen to the broadcast, go to our website for the audio and video archives at www.thefemalesolution.com. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. Family joining us all around the world, we say thanks to our family in China, Xianxian. India, Zhangyaba, Abenato. Korea, Amchamida, Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Zhangyaba.
Poland, Jean Puyon. France, Peace, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Gaspier, Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Madad, Nigeria, Esha, South Africa, Gabonda, Senegal, Yale, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Ashakur, Saudi Arabia, and Palestine, Shukra. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you. Be upon you, your God, and God's blessing.
Goodbye.